You are listening to Alamo City Movie Talk Podcast, the podcast for all cinema lovers.
What's going on, Alamo City Movie Talk fans? I'm Ryan D, aka Ryan680.
And I'm Justin, aka at Dosa Stir. And today we actually have a special guest, one of my own homies himself, Dylan. Dylan, how you doing?
Doing good, fellas, doing good.
Cool, awesome. You want to plug in an ad or anything like that?
No, I'm good, man.
What's your Twitter handle? What's your Instagram? We want to know everything. What's your social security number? No,
all right, so Instagram is DylanEthan01. Awesome. Let's see, Twitter, don't use it very much anymore, but it is, can't even remember, it's been so long, DHaby01.
Okay.
Twitter.
Awesome, brother. So, let's get right to it, ladies and gentlemen, movie talk fans out there. You know, this is going to, we're reaching another point of audience. We're reaching another genre that's really has, who would have thought an horror genre like Shudder, which is owned by AMC Network, come out of this and have a streaming service? Who would have thought that? Like, this is just crazy. This is absurd. And you know what? Here's the thing. This movie would not have been made by anyone else, or it wouldn't have been streamed by anyone else. I mean, it's, you know, let's talk about Random Acts of Violence, ladies and gentlemen. What was y'all's first take on it, Justin? And you're the one that picked, or Dylan's the one that picked it, Dylan.
I guess we'll let Dylan kind of give the backstory on why he requested it first and everything. So,
all right. So the reason I found out about the movie is a friend of mine who is a local producer produced a song that got featured in the movie. The song is called OJ. By Southside Hoodlum. It played during the first killing scene with the three kids in the in the little expedition or whatever. But yeah, during that scene, that's when the song played. But I guess he had found out that they were using the music for the movie, and so he started plugging it on social media. I looked into it. I saw the actors. I was like, wow, this movie's kind of stacked for being an indie film.
Yeah.
So I immediately had to see if Justin could get a connect on it.
There you go.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that Justin asked me this probably about like 6 months ago, maybe longer.
Well, it was right when Shudder had started up.
Like, yeah, that's what it was.
And because I think like the first movie was like their first exclusive was like some post-apocalyptic film with Nicolas Cage. And I was just like, what the hell? Okay, all right.
So you asked me, you know, I remember you asked me to look into that. And I was all like, dude, so Netflix is real easy, right? Netflix, they put out their press stuff. They have their press access. It's real literally on the bottom of the, usually for websites, it's usually on the bottom where you get your press stuff. So for Shudder, I was all like, what? There's no press thing on the bottom. There's no like where you can do press contacts or anything like that. I was like, what the heck? I never really looked into it. I was like, this is too much work, Justin. I'm just going to push it off. And then I decided just randomly, you know, with every hopefully everyone's staying safe with COVID-19. That's why we're remote right now. But so I was all like, you know what? I have the time to do it. Let me take a look at it. Who owns it? Come to find out it's AMC. Who would have thought that? Like it's AMC Network that owns Shudder. And so I looked further more into it and I was just like, oh, okay, AMC access. Oh, Shudder access. There you go. And then, of course, I send the list to Justin. Justin sent it to you. And I was just, you know, showing you. And I was just like, you know what? My honest opinion, I have to say Justin or Dylan. I thought it was Justin Dylan. That was a good pick, by the way, man, for start off to a Shudder original movie. But yeah, I mean, dude, I love the way this movie actually started out with the graphic novel right off the bat. We got to see that graphic, just how it was so graphic comic, how it started in the very first beginning of the film. And I was just like, wow, is this the tone? Also, the font of it was great. I love that font. I mean, it's almost kind of similar to like Stranger Things kind of font where it's like, you know, where really it kind of shot out at you. And that's kind of like how this one kind of did just the title. So furthermore, I was just like, you know what, let me see how this film would actually do, the tones you're really going to carry. And yeah, I really enjoyed it so much. I mean, the graphics of the music, and Dylan, you mentioned it already. I mean, the music was spot on, dude. Like, I actually love the soundtrack for this, man. It was really done very well.
Yes. So like right off the bat, what was crazy itself, you know, obviously Jay Baruchel, hopefully that's how you pronounce his name. He's the one who directed this, and people know Jay as, he's kind of like always a background character pretty much to the James Franco, Seth Rogen group that they got going on.
True, but she's out of my league. Come on. She's out of my league. I enjoyed that movie. It was very cheesy and very rom-com. I still enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. What was the end of the world movie that they did?
This is the end.
Yeah,
so that was terrible.
He did This Is the End, Tropic Thunder, and then
I think
those were like the two major movies he was actually in, and then he did like a couple of other ones like here and there. But yeah, this, like you said, this is his first, like, I would consider this his first like directorial debut, because he did do the sequel to Goon Squad, which wasn't that good. And then he did an episode of Trailer Park Boys, and I think he did like a couple of short films here and there, but this is actually like his first movie that he did that I was, you know, that I'm actually surprised that, man, like, in all honesty, like, you know, I'm going to call it James Franco's group, because I don't know what their whole group is. But, honestly, James Franco's group of people that he's got with them, which, of course, is James Franco, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Jonah Hill, Craig Robinson, and, of course, Jay. You know, like, out of all of them, bro, like, they've all done good stuff with, of course, Jonah Hill doing mid-90s. James Franco, he's done a couple of movies. Seth Rogen doing the whole Preacher series on AMC itself, you know, and that was fantastic, you know, as what it was. And I know Danny McBride's done a couple things here and there. Dude can sing like an angel, you know. but dude, honestly, like, this is a good group of guys that have honestly, like, they've each shown their own talent. You know, I even forgot to mention Danny McBride doing Eastbound and Down. He's directed the whole series itself.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, dude, this is a good group of guys. And just for Jay to come out here and do his own, you know, movie himself, it's just like, dude, it's amazing. So I guess, like, you know, first things first, going into the movie, you know, like, it gave that, like Dylan and our other buddy David had said, like, it gave that classic horror movie feel to it. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was amazing, dude. Like, honestly, like, for what it was and for it being an indie film, like, it was really, really good. Like, and I was really surprised. And like, I guess we'll kind of go off into like the first, I would say the first murder, like the first murder scene. I don't know if you want to get into that. Yeah. Right now, or
well, let Dylan talk. Tell Dylan, what's your thoughts on it, man?
Well, overall, I would agree with Justin. I think the movie was a grand slam in that aspect. I did immediately get the 80s vibe from the colors and the logos, and to go off of what you said, the soundtrack was amazing, as well as the original scores that were done for it. Those I thought were very well done, with the synth pop and the way synth wave and all that, really fit that 80s vibe. The whole idea of the comic thing I thought was very original. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't think of another horror movie where I've seen something like that. So I thought immediately that was pretty good, on that. My overall thoughts.
Like, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, just like, you know, like, we all had this idea of what we thought the film was going to be about. We thought it was going to be like a copycat killer from the actual comic itself, but it turns out, like, you know, spoiler alert. It was actually based off a real killer and situation. And you know, another major spoiler, that the guy who wrote it was actually involved in one of the first murders. And, you know, he was a reason for the inspiration for everything. So honestly, like, that right there, it was just, I felt was original, you know?
Yeah, this was done by Elevation Pictures. And here's the thing. So when we actually go into the comic mythology, I really love this idea because it really sheds so much light into how I don't want to say addicted, but how we all love these characters, and whether it be Batman, Superman, Marvel Comics, DC Comics. I mean, we could go on and on different comic book companies. And here's the thing. I love this idea. I love this characteristics, even between, the actors. It just felt so original and so real because it really carried this film throughout this movie. And here's the thing. I really did love how it wasn't like build up scares. What I mean by build up scares, yeah. I mean like it wasn't like dun, dun dun, like something like almost like a like how normal horror Hollywood movies are. And that's the thing that I really hate about horror movies is that Hollywood horror movies is that it lets you know like, hey, something's about to happen. But in this one, it was kind of random. Really random, yeah. Like it was just random jumps. I don't even consider it jump scares.
I think the murders itself were like random as hell. Like it was just like, damn, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was like, oh crap, this is about to happen. Oh shit, like this is about to happen. Like it didn't feel like that whatsoever. It felt very natural. It felt very smooth. Like this killer was really real in a sense to where like he really did create not human centipede, but these figurines with human bodies.
I forgot what they called it. I don't know if you remember,
Dylan. Oh, it was like the triplecta or something like that. Yeah, I think it was
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was
yeah. See, and here's the thing, it's very intense film. Like I felt intense. I felt like it was just wow, like it was giving me a little bit good, awesome chills that you want to feel in a horror movie now. And here's the thing, nowadays it's just like, are horror movies, can they even give you this anymore? And that's the thing I've always been questioning. The Conjuring movies, I've always felt like they gave you kind of goosebumps, a little bit. Granted, you know, the last one was kind of, but I still love the Conjuring movies. Not talking about the spinoffs, but the actual Conjuring movies. I mean, what do y'all feel as far as like Hollywood and horror movies? Like, is it just like too cheesy now, or is it just, I mean, going into that horror genre?
I feel a lot of them have, like you said, they do include a certain buildup to most big moments. It seems like they almost subscribe to a roadmap or rules that they kind of follow.
Yeah.
It was touched on very well, I think, in the Scream series. It was, you know, a parody of itself in a way. But yeah, I'll say most big time horror movies will tend to still follow that roadmap and those rules set for the movies.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, indie films, when it comes to like just like horror in general, like I feel like they touch a lot more on like the kind of stuff that makes your, you know, makes it seep deep into your bones that like, mm-hmm. like damn, like that's crazy as hell. You know, like for an example, you know, the 8 films to die for, that's what they aim for, you know, like to break away from the stereotypical horror movies and just like really chill the hell out of you and make you feel like you're actually watching a horror movie, you know, the type to keep you up at night and all that, you know? So, you know, Hollywood in general is like, yeah, like Dylan said, they're just like following a roadmap, you know? So,
yeah, no, and that's the thing too. Like, it really sheds light into that, and that's the thing. This movie could not have come out in theaters. Is to like they would have to change up this whole like I don't even know. Like, it wouldn't even be rated R. Like, it just it's one of those things where it's graphic. I mean, it's very graphic.
Yeah, and it's crazy, yeah. Man. The first murder scene that they had, it was just like. Right off the bat, man, just like stab, 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 like rowdy, like without hesitation. And I even told Dylan and our other friends that were watching the movie with us, was like, I think this is the first slasher film that I've seen where the actual killer uses a gun to kill people. Like he came out like with a gun and shot, you know, shot the couple in the van and everything like that. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Like
there was, you know, there was some in Scream. At the end,
well, yeah,
but yeah, like, but as a main weapon, I don't think I can name another one.
Yeah, it's like you expect them to like slowly creep up on them and everything like that. You know the stereotypical killer, you know, creep up behind them, you know, whatever like that. It was just like crazy.
Yeah, no, yeah, most definitely. And this film actually does come out tomorrow on Shudder. It'll be on streaming service. Another thing to note that the co-star, she played Kathy in here, which she's from Fast and Furious. We've seen her a lot of Fast and Furious. I don't think there's anything else I could think of that I've seen her in recently.
She's in that show Dallas.
That's probably why I haven't seen her movies.
Yeah, she's. I know she's in that TV show Dallas. She's still an active member, an active cast member in the Fast and the Furious. She was in Texas Chainsaw: The Beginning. It was like the prequel of the remake.
Yeah,
she was in that.
Yeah. So like I just she was actually I actually liked her in here. I really did. I'm not gonna lie. I liked her in it because I mean, you always have to. Yeah. And here's the thing: you always have to have a pretty face to kill. You always have to have that. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre was all like pretty girls, and it was just like random guy. Like, oh, you're gonna die. Like, it's just you have to have that. You know that that pretty face. You know, to kill, to murder. But yeah. So here's the thing. What did y'all think of like the, as far as like, I mean, the bloody scenes were very bloody. It was a lot of blood used in this, and especially that climax. Did y'all like the climax of this film? Were y'all happy with the climax?
Yes. Yeah. I would say overall. Yeah. Yeah, I was, because it was kind of like one of those things like, you know, the killer, you know, basically, you know, spoiler alert, he wanted the writer, which was Jesse Williams, which Dylan pointed out, he's from Grey's Anatomy, which I would never have known that.
Yeah, he is from
Detroit.
My wife told me
the video game. Detroit,
yeah.
My wife told me that too. She recognized him right away, and I was all like, "Oh, well, you recognize the guy? I recognize the girl."
But yeah, like you know, like I was saying, it was like you know the climax, like it kind of like the killer wanted the writer to carry on or let you know carry on his story, and like Dylan said after the movie he was like oh no, like you know you can't do that, you can't let him win, or you know like,
oh yeah, I mean if I was him you just burn the place down with both of you in it, you can't let him win, you can't write the last comic, you know.
Here's the thing,
I don't know, that's me.
Yeah, I mean, you still got to do it for the cheddar cheese, you know what I'm talking about?
So the killer's name, so we never got the killer's name, which I thought was kind of odd, but again, it wasn't.
They called him The Man.
The Man. Which is played by Simon Northwood, but here's the thing.
Yeah, which, you know, is funny about that, because I thought I recognized him, because I was watching the movie, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Well, apparently he's an actual, like, you know, credible stuntman in Hollywood. Like, he's always done stunts for everybody.
I was just saying, most major horror
films, like the major guy is like
our stuntman.
Stunt guy. Yeah.
So Jason, it was like Michael Myers. There are 90% of the time, they're all stuntmen.
Yeah. So it was like, it was crazy, but at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, like thinking about that, like obviously, like Michael Myers, like he's one of the most famous ones that, you know, played a killer who was a stuntman. Just like, you know, like, damn.
you gotta stay silent and walk and stab. So yeah, we'll get the stuntman to do it.
I mean, you're the one who's gonna be doing the most work, might as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. But yeah, so what'd you feel like they needed out of this movie? Did y'all feel like they needed something else? I mean, the runtime for this film, ladies and gentlemen, was an hour and 20 minutes, which I think is perfect, which is weird because it's not 90 minutes, it's 80 minutes. Which is kind of odd because nowadays is that like movies have to be like movies feel like
2 hours.
Movies do not have to be 2 hours long. Let's clarify on that. They do not have to be 2 hours long. You tell the story, you say the story you want to say, and then you have a beginning, middle, and end, and there you go. If it ends at 90 minutes, ends at 90 minutes. Don't feel like you have to do 2 hours. Cause, perfect example, me and Justin Dylan went to go see, what was it? I hate to say it because The Rock was in it. Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. It was a spinoff, and God, that was terrible. I mean, oh my God. Like, yeah, that's the perfect example I could give. I wanted to walk out of theater, and like after the first 30 minutes, I was like, God, how long is this movie? Over 2 hours long, almost 2 hours and 30 minutes. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding
Jesus.
Me?
And it's funny because Dylan is like a big Fast and the Furious fanboy. And he like, every time I mention that movie, he's like, nah, we don't include that. Nah.
Yep. I still to this day have refused to watch it. I have not seen it. And I don't plan on it.
I'm with you there, Dylan. I like to not, I like to deny Justice League came out. So I'm with you there. but yeah. So is there any scenes in particular that y'all really loved in this? That you would like to see, like, as far, and what I mean by particular scenes, I mean like as far as like the how they were set up, I guess, in a sense, to where like I guess like I don't want to say how they killed them, but but like I mean something like that, you know what I'm saying?
For me, the one that really like got my attention was the kill of the assistant and the way he was in the pitch black. And then I mean, because you can see, I'm guessing, where he cut the scenes together. And it's obvious, but it's not. I thought it was very good light play, the way he was not there and then there the next second. That one to me got me.
Yeah, it was pretty funny too, because we were watching the movie, and I don't know if it was Dylan or David that called it out. They're like, you are not going to go sit over there with that rowdy lighting.
You're not going to sit at the picnic table by yourself when homeboy was like, right next to her digging through the trash.
With that horrible like orange lighting. That's green.
Okay, so good thing you mentioned that. I was all like, "What? Why is that lighting even there? Oh, something's about to happen." That was the only thing that was kind of a giveaway that was out of this movie, is that like, oh, something's about to happen. But overall, I actually enjoyed this movie because it wasn't giving us the like, hey, something's about to happen, the buildups, the horror buildups and all that, because it was just, I didn't want it to be too predictable, man. Horror movies nowadays are too effing predictable. I freaking hate it. Like, why do you have to be so predictable? Why can't you just come out with something original, come out with something random, and just have random acts of violence?
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's funny because like I was even thinking about it myself. I'm like, you know what, like shit, like I think Shudder itself is gonna change how horror movies are gonna be, like, you know, now. Like, everybody's doing their own streaming service exclusives, and Shudder is apparently, you know, hitting the ballpark, you know, hitting everything out of the ballpark when it comes to their exclusives. You know, I haven't seen, like, I've been checking out like a lot of their reviews for their exclusives, and everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm like, you know, 9 times out of 10, everything is good. They even did a kind of like a Zombieland version of a zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Like, in their own way, I think it was like a Japanese film, and it was like apparently amazing. So that's like one of the films like I'm like expecting to like want to see and review, because it comes out in September.
There's a lot of movies on there. Like they made original La Llorona.
Yes, which
a lot of people are. Oh, you saw the movie?
Well, I haven't watched it. No, but I resubscribed to Shudder today, and I was going through and making my list, and that one caught my eye.
Yeah, I've been hearing that one was really good. Two critics that I know personally that saw it here in San Antonio had to review it, and they said it was really a lot better than the Hollywood version and more original to the story. And here's the thing too. Another thing that I was hearing about also was the movie Host. I heard Host is getting a lot of good reviews, and that's another good movie to keep an eye on, guys. That one came out like, I want to say a month by now, or 2 weeks ago, something like that. Like 2 weeks to a month now. But it's already on Shudder streaming service, so that's another good one to watch if you haven't seen that. So Host is going to be another one. Was this the film that we deserved, guys?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm surprised that this skinny guy made it. That gives me hope. That means I could direct a movie, guys. That gives me hope.
There you go. Hey, there you go.
That gives me hope, man. All right, Dylan, would you want to be in my movie? But you got to die first.
Absolutely. You want me to die? You want me to be the killer? Whatever you want, man.
Oh, okay.
I'm there.
How tall are you? You're not tall enough.
No, just under 6 feet. I'm a little too short for a killer.
I'm short too, man. It's all good. But yeah, so like, I just, you know, it gives me hope. Like, hey, there's really good filmmakers out there, and just give a guy a chance. Any size guy with the skin, the skinny little guy. I mean, you can tell he's getting a little up there, but I mean, just so are all we. So you can tell time has passed.
Yeah, you know, I've always said that, like, some of the greatest movies are directed by the guys who you'd never expect to direct the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, right off the bat, one of my most favorite movies that are, you know, in my at least like top 15 movies, you know, mid 90s, made by Jonah Hill. You know,
you beat me to like, yeah.
Who would have thought Jonah Hill would have directed one of my favorite movies, you know?
And that's by A24, our favorite studio, my favorite studio.
A24 right too.
There you go. Yeah, A24, man. That's the thing, brother. Yeah, A24 does really good stuff. They just came out with a new movie. It's Boy State. It's about 1,000 kids that are up for it's a political movie. And I didn't know this, but in Austin, they 1,000 kids get sent there to become future politicians. And it's almost like a Boy Scout kind of deal. So think of Boy Scouts, but it's all political, and you have to gain. They have to do a state legislation, and they have to figure out who wants to be governor. They do the votes, Speaker of the House. They don't call them Democrats or Republicans. They call them Federalists and Non-Federalists. And you get to see who is really a Republican. You can tell who's Republican and who's Democrat, which is lovely because they develop it on their own. That's the thing. They don't sign them. Like, they split them up, just random groups of people. Just random groups of people all over Texas. It only happens in Texas. You can only be get it in Texas, and it's all held at our state capitol in Austin. So as you can tell, it gets very political. That's a good movie to watch, and that's
sounds pretty Caucasian.
Which is funny because, you know, there's a Hispanic guy in there there's two minorities there. Yeah.
It's Texas, man. They got to have a couple.
Yeah, exactly. But going back to the Shutter. All right. So let's rate it, ladies. Let's rate it, guys. All right. Ratings 1 out of 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. Justin, you want to go first?
You know what? I will give it. I'll give it a 9 out of 10. I will, right. Honestly, just because, you know, I do like that whole quote that, like, you know, that the killer said that my work was an art, and how the last scene kind of like was like, you know, the death at the dinner table, where like all of them were all murdered and sitting at their own seat. And it was kind of, I mean, it was kind of, you know, kind of looked like art. I mean, you know, it's a dark version of art. And I like that, really. I think
check you into the state hospital.
No, it's like, you know, usually like the last scene always makes the movie, at least what I think, you know, like, you gotta end strong, you gotta end beautiful for it to like determine whether it's gonna be a good movie or not, you know, at least for me. So I give it a 9 out of 10, and Dylan will probably explain why I give it a 9 out of 10, because he always says the same thing.
I'm gonna go with the solid 9 out of 10 also. Adding to what Justin said about endings, I am a strong believer and a strong fighter for abrupt endings. I feel like you need to tell your story. You don't need to tell any more because the audience wants more. I like how it just ended and it didn't tell us, like, did he write the comic? Did he die in that house? Like, we don't know. We don't need to know. We can, you know, our own minds can write that. So I enjoyed that part of it, and I will always enjoy movies that do that. Contrary to, I guess, to what the popular belief may be on that. My only gripe about the movie, and I told Justin and David as we were watching it, was there was a constant green tint to the movie. And while I get it to, I guess, invoke the retro vibe, I feel like it could have been perfectly fine without it. It was a bit distracting. And so
I don't know if it was the actual like link that we saw, or I don't know if it's like the movie though. That's what I'm concerned about.
So good thing you mentioned that, because I don't watch Grey's Anatomy. The guy, he didn't look just the color of his skin. He didn't look like it, because the way the way the images were and the way the lighting was, it looked like he looked Caucasian to me.
him and the kid version of him didn't look look the same.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
that, that's what we said too.
Yeah, that was very peculiar, and I was all like, same colored eyes. Okay, maybe you're trying.
It wasn't until the end when you actually saw like
even at the end though you're questioning it. Yeah, you're all like, what? Is this really like?
That was a constant thing that we were mentioning to each other.
Bad way. Yeah, not in a bad way. Maybe they couldn't find someone. I don't. It could be a number of things. But yeah, so I just that was the only issue with that I had too was the way the lighting was. Like, dude, like you could have done so. It could been a little bit brighter in there, and that's the thing too. You can't make movies like that too dark or too reddish or greenish because it kind of
to me it wasn't so much of it being like light and dark. It was just the tint of things I felt were real unnatural. I prefer more of like natural tones.
Okay,
and sometimes it was distracting. And I don't think it was the link we saw, Justin, because there was multiple points throughout the movie that I felt were emphasized by the green, and I think they were meant to be emphasized. It just kind of was the only thing that threw me off.
Just maybe that retro vibe.
Yeah, and even during the when the story unfolded, it was all red. So like, right, it was red, right? Yeah. So maybe it was just.
It was a constant contrast. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he would have like a back. The red would be lit on the left side, and then the right would be green, or a certain object would be green, and the other one would be lit really bright red. So I think it was done purposely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely, it really was, and that's the thing too. Like we noticed it too, and even in the very end too, it was all red. Like it was like even when he was having the flashback, it was red, and then when we got the climax, the very ending was red, as well. Right. Yeah. So like, I mean, well, obviously there was blood everywhere. It was red. I was just like, man, wow. That was
I feel like if you get any kind of feedback from this, I hope it would be that Jay answers why he decided to do that. I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious. Was it to invoke comic book vibes? Was it?
I'm pretty sure he got it off some like inspiration from a movie or something like that. I'm pretty sure he did.
Again, Dylan, it's probably what you said. Like he's trying to be retro. That's the only thing I could think of. Like it's just stuff like that. Like just when it comes down to colors and all that, color lighting, it just. That's what it comes down to, man. Because like you said, it could have been just natural lighting, which could have been a lot better. With me though, it just I always prefer not too bright, but at least a little bit lighting added to there, because that way you could see kind of what's going on. Because even recently when I went to go see on HBO Max, we saw the Harry Potter movies. Like the last two were like so dark, and even Half-Blood Prince was dark. You can't really tell what's going on. I had to like go on my TV brightness in order to brighten it up a little bit just to see kind of like what's going on. I was just like, what the heck? But again, like it just, I feel like it should be just natural light. I agree with you there. But yeah. All right. Do y'all recommend this movie?
I do.
Hell yeah.
I very much do.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely, guys. All right, Alamo City Movie Talk does recommend this movie, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to check it out on Shudder. It should be available tomorrow, guys. All right. Any final thoughts?
Nah, man. I mean, the only final thoughts is like, you know, if this movie's great from Shudder, then I should expect their other exclusives to be pretty good. And I would totally recommend, at least like, I believe they do a 1 month free trial. So, if anybody's curious, if anybody loves the hell out of horror movies, like, you know, like me or Dylan do, then I, you know, 100% think that y'all should at least check it out for like the free month. And
I resubscribed today. I want to say it's like $5.99 a month.
Yeah, it's not even that much.
Not that bad.
You know, less than Hulu, definitely less than Netflix. So
most definitely. not cheaper than Disney Plus. No, I'm just kidding. totally different genre. I forgot. What do you call it? I saw a meme that was, speaking of streaming service, I saw a meme. It's funny. I don't know why I have to bring it up, but I have to. It was, you go from Netflix and chill to Disney Plus and chill. Like I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, you got to keep Disney Plus for the single moms, dude.
Well, no. Man, all right. And if you any single moms out there, be sure to reach out to Dose of Stir. Be sure to reach out.
And his username's right up there.
Yeah, and David just texted me right now. He told me to plug in a quote. He said, tell them the movie was effing awesome, and in all caps and exclamation points. So
nice, you go. Straight from the dragon's mouth.
Yep, there you go.
Awesome. And if you do like this review, guys, be sure to put it on the comments down below. Maybe there's a Shudder movie that you want these cats to do. So it's all in the works, Dylan. Hopefully we get to see you again, and you'll be able to cover all of our Shudder stuff, man, because I know Justin's really excited for that. And I'm excited for it because I can't wait to see what you guys could put out, man. I mean, it's a lot of potential. There's an audience for it.
A lot of movies too on Shudder too. You're not, you know, out on regular theaters or either, you know, other streaming services too. So
yeah, it's gonna be very exciting, man. All right, Dylan. Once again, thanks for being on the show, brother. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Can't wait to be back.
Yeah. What can people find you at once again?
I don't even remember anymore. Instagram was at DylanEthan01 and the Twitter was at DHaby01.
There you go.
Hit him up on Twitter. He's Twitter famous. So
I don't really use it anymore. But
oh, yeah, use it anymore. Just where can people find you at, man?
Instagram and Twitter at Dosister. So
there you go, baby.
Yeah, don't go on Twitter. I cry too much on there. So
yeah, you do. All right, guys. You can find me everywhere at NolanRyan680, guys. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Have a good one, guys. Check y'all later.